Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. This is the beloved co-host. My beloved is getting oral surgery this morning. We Steve Williamson is off to get his face cut up, and Gary LeMaster, our wonderful statistician and the guy that keeps us all honest, is off back east getting more turkey, I guess. He's still back there in his homeland for the holiday. So we got me this morning, and while the teacher's away, the kids will play. I'm going to pick on Obama this morning. We're going to have a little fun with we're going to do various things. But one of the things we're going to do is we're going to do Obama and Snowden. There's a movie in town right now at the Mary D. Fisher Theater. And there's a few more showings. For the Fisher Theater, it has quite a few showings. A lot of times they do things once or twice. But this has five showings, and it's still going on. This is the Citizen Four, it's called, and Edward Snowden, the first real, at least that some of us have seen, extensive interviews of Edward Snowden, which is kind of a big deal. The largest intelligence leak, biggest leaking all of the, he's the one that let us know that the NSA is following everything that we do. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But it's also what, at least in journalist world, would be the biggest story of the 21st century. And quite frankly, nobody cares. Or at least not enough people care that we've given up our privacy. And if some people equate privacy and freedom, that if you give up, you don't have any liberty if the government, especially the state, knows your every purchase, your every website, your every keystroke. And that the government seemed to be after no less, according to Ed Snowden. And so we're going to talk about the movie this morning. That's happening locally. We're going to talk about Obama and drones. We're going to talk about this conflicted guy. We're going to talk about this contradictory presidency. The name of the show is Democratic Perspective. And so we're going to talk about the Kahuna Democrat here this morning for a little while and his connection to so many of the topics of the day. And we're going to talk about Obama and Ferguson and on Obama and immigration and we also want to talk about. In fact, I want to lead with this. I think that Steve Williamson, the man who isn't here this morning, is just after 10 years as president of Democrats of the Red Rocks. He's stepping down, and that's a big deal. You know, you give and as Steve did, a big part of his life. To quite frankly, it depends on how you look at it. I think he gave a big part of his life to the voters of Sedona. They've that organization and the work that they've done under Steve's management has turned Sedona blue. I mean, it has registered many, many voters on both sides of the aisle, for that matter. They've done a political service to the residents of Sedona, and certainly have made all of us through their mailings, through the door breakfasts, through the movies at the Sedona Library, have made them made us more aware of issues. You'll find right away that when it comes to me and my beloved co-host, he is the more moderate one. he tamps down my extremism. But he's not here today, so the extremism is going to poke his it's pretty curly in this case, redhead out, and we're going to talk a little bit about. But I want to get into, excuse me, I want to get into the movie. that's that, and I don't have the schedule. You can check it out online. Go see. I think it's expensive. I laid down $25. She gave me a dollar back last night. But I considered it supporting a freedom. Some people see Edward Snowden as the biggest hero of the 21st century. The 29-year-old whistleblower took a whole bunch of evidence, got together with Glenn Greenwald, now of The Guardian, and he publishes in other newspapers, and they started printing those stories that we saw months ago about how the NSA knows everything, every phone call, every text, and with court permission in the United States. And of course, if you're not a citizen of the United States, they don't need court permission. But the court never fails to give them permission. It's like a renewal. Every 45 days, they get permission for the metadata that Obama talked about that they're collecting. And as far as the shock to liberty, and as far as the shock to privacy and the shock to freedom, it's that they're collecting data on people who haven't done anything wrong. They're collecting data on me and you and everyone. And that has a chilling notion for some of us, especially, I don't know, older or younger. If they have the information and you're doing a radio show or you're writing an article, like some I have done, it has a chilling effect to know that it does affect what you're going to say. I tell people I'm too stupid to realize maybe I'm putting myself at risk here. I do run into people all the time that talk about how do you say the things that you say, and not only on the show but in private and on the articles when I worked for the newspaper and in bars and at parties. But as far as I'm concerned, they're all reasonable approaches. But apparently they're surprised because there is a fear out there. And I'm saying, why wouldn't I say the things that I say? Why wouldn't I? and then after I think later that they're coming from this position of fear, as if there is something to be afraid of. So the Snowden movie. You can find positive and negative reviews, and certainly some of the information is. It's called Citizen Four, by the way, and this is a lot of it is Edward Snowden on the run in Hong Kong, and those first early interviews, how they decided, how they proceeded to make this information public. Of course, the reason they want to put him in jail is not only did he take data that showed that the telecom companies were reporting all our internet activity and phone calls and texts to the government, but he has data on other intelligence issues dealing with the national security of the United States, which he just kind of has no intention of ever using, but he doesn't explain, at least to my satisfaction, why he took that. Let me read a little bit from one of the reviews, and it talks about. He had, as far as the government being after him, he says, I've told the government again and again in negotiations, you know, that if they're prepared to offer an open trial, a fair trial, in the same way that Daniel Ellsberg got, and I'm allowed to make my case to the jury, I would love to do so. And of course, he's referring to the former U.S. military analyst responsible for releasing the Pentagon Papers and his 1973 trial. But to this point, they've declined. Snowden cites Ellsberg as one of his inspirations for doing this. Currently, I guess maybe it's just an attempt to keep this alive. Snowden is appearing to sold out crowds via live streaming video feed at places like TED Talks and South by Southwest. He speaks through the video feeds. Maybe it's a way of raising money to keep him living abroad, living in Moscow. Which also apparently was a default thing. Certainly makes him look bad. But so Obama and Snowden here 6 years on, they're still after him. And they're still afraid of the information he has and has used, and they're afraid of the information he has and hasn't used. But we do want to talk more about about this conflicted guy in the White House. I was going to interview Obama this morning, but it was he didn't return my call. I'm not done with Citizens Four, the Snowden movie, but we'll come back to it. We want to talk about the conflicted Obama presidency, and I can't let drone strikes. I want to read this quote from George Clooney that certainly maybe sums up a little bit of what I feel. Clooney says, "I'm disillusioned by the people who are disillusioned by Obama, quite honestly. The Democrats eat their own. The Democrats eat their young. Democrats find singular issues and go, well, I didn't get everything I wanted." Clooney says, "I'm a firm believer in sticking by and sticking up for the people whom you've worked to elect, who you've elected. If Obama was a Republican, because Republicans are better at this, they'd be selling him as the guy who stopped 400,000 jobs a month from leaving the country. They'd be selling him as the guy who saved the auto industry. They'd be selling him as the guy who got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, who got Osama bin Laden. They could do some very successful selling." That's kind of there's this other thing that goes around the internet that some of you probably seen. This is what a successful presidency looks like, and it's got doubt. When Obama took office in 2009, the Dow Jones was under 8,000 points. It's now pushing 18,000. I don't have to explain, or maybe I do, that when the Dow goes up like that, pension plans, investment clubs, obviously corporations and those people that participate in this kind of capitalism, that gets better. And it certainly is one of the single most well-known measures of how we're doing economically. And we're talking about a doubling, and more. Since the unemployment rate went from 7.8% to 5.8%, that's millions of people back at work each month. And you guys hear the reports like I do. There's 180, 200, 250,000 jobs every month of his presidency. Now, it's not the 300,000 or 400,000 that would indicate the recovery in the way the economists tell us that we want to recover, but certainly it's improvement. GDP growth. When he walked in, when he gave his inauguration speech in 2009, we had negative GDP growth of over 5%. Now it's positive gross domestic product growth of 3.5%. This is the one the Republicans love. This deficit of GDP as far as percentage. The deficit as a percent of GDP, you hear the news, the talking heads on TV say. When he took office, it was 9.8%. It's now 2.8%. The deficit talk is rearing its head again, I think, because they want to shut down the government for God knows because they're angry at him for the immigration decision we're going to talk about in a minute. The last one, consumer confidence. Now, this figure, it was in the 30s when he took office. and it's in the 80s and 90s now, depending on which source you consult. That alone, that one figure alone. Now, Obama's approval rating, whole different story. This guy makes his supporters angry. He makes, obviously, the other side wants to impeach him for all kinds of things. I shouldn't say all kinds of things. They want to specifically go after him for the immigration decision. But let's talk about that for a second. Obama and immigration. The things that you want to know about the executive action on immigration, and you know, we had a show on it, and we were afraid. We had all kinds of technical information about what the decision does, what the action does, and what it doesn't do. We'd talk a little bit about what it doesn't do. We talked a little bit about what it does, but some of the, we didn't want to get too technical. Here's five things that I got from Media Matters in America, one of my favorite sources. Media Matters for America, I should say. And it's a media watchdog group, which I guess leans left, which means is reasonable and tells the truth. Number one, it's legal. Number two, it has precedent. Lots and lots and lots of precedent. You see precedent. You see these all over the internet. All the other Republican presidents, all the Democratic presidents who made adjustments in the immigration system through executive order. It's about time, certainly for supporters of President Obama, like me. The fact that he was deporting 400,000, that he was breaking up tens of thousands of families every month for most of his administration was unconscionable. I've said on the show before that these aren't stats. I live in Arizona. I've lived here 40 years. These are friends. These are neighbors. These are students. These are people I know. These are sons and daughters and mothers and fathers of people I know. These are colleagues. I mean, they're integral parts of my life and of many people. So, the Obama's dragging his feet to correct some of the biggest immigration abuses, as this has been a long time coming. So it's about time. For many of us, it's taken a long time to get here. It's just about individuals. It's not just about individuals. It is about families. So we're not talking about, you know, the guy with the handlebar mustache who's coming over for whatever reasons. This as I gave the list, this is about keeping families together. And what happens when they lose, whether it's a young member or an older member, how the family, just like your family would, how they have to adjust when they lose that person that has to go back or go somewhere. And this is the biggest of all, the nonpartisan accounting office says it will benefit the economy if undocumented immigrants are able to apply for deferred action. It would lead to at least a $3 billion increase in state sales tax revenues and state tax revenues the first year, and $22 billion over 5 years. That's a good reason to close down the government, as some of the guys want to do. I have to do my little – and this is a perfect time to do my Republican bashing. And it's over these kinds of issues, there is no, and I'm talking about Andrew Sullivan here, I'm quoting him, there isn't effectively no Republican Party anymore. There's a radical movement to destroy the modern American state and eviscerate its institutions in favor of restoring some mythical majority white 19th century past, apparently. I'm not sure, so I agree with his last line. But I do agree. I don't know how. What makes old people vote for people that want to do away with Social Security as we know it? What makes people vote for people that want to do away with Medicare? They want to privatize Social Security. They want to morph Medicare into something much less effective. We want Medicare for everyone. It's in that way, Obamacare is that. Well, that's the other reason they want to. They are very they meaning Congress is very uncooperative with Obama is the fact that he provided meaningful health care for so far over 10 million, and probably by the time this enrollment period's over, there'll be 12 million people, Americans, will have health insurance, health care, and yeah, I mean, that's a good reason to, we need to add that to Clooney's list, by the way, of reasons for of the successful presidency and reasons they should have sold it. I think now the powers that be realize that they should have made a bigger deal out of that during the election. They were afraid of putting up a target, and that the candidates, the Republican candidates, would have taken pot shots at Obamacare and. It would have been a loser for them, but I don't think so. I think when you're, once again, friends and neighbors that are getting health care, getting jobs in health care, getting jobs in the health industry because of Obamacare, it was a winner, and they screwed up. But this is a polarizing guy, and that's for sure. His handlers and certainly the people that advise him, I think, don't put him out front on lots of things. Like Ferguson, I don't know if you heard his remarks. I watched them on television. It was it makes my little talks here on the radio seem organized. He kind of wandered all around, and wasn't the Obama passion that we've come to know. It was very tepid. And one of the analysts, and I'm sorry I don't have the... One of the analysts speculated that it's Obama's polarizing nature that keeps him from saying what people like me, what his supporters want him to say about Ferguson. Of course, we're talking about Ferguson, Missouri, where the police officer shot the 15th, by the way, unarmed African-American young man, Michael Brown. There's a great cartoon in the, I don't want to call it a great cartoon, there's an interesting cartoon in the Sunday New York Times that has the other 14 unarmed young people that have been shot by police in the last few years so Obama's comments were for calm, were for consideration, but they certainly didn't say what I'm about to say, that it's tough being a cop. Tough job. This particular cop fired at a guy 12 times, hit him 6. Now, there's lots and lots and lots of other information the grand jury dealt with. But for me, those two facts ring out of anger. And I don't know. I'm not a weapons expert, but I do wonder about shooting someone 6 times to prevent him from doing harm to you. This conflicted, polarizing guy, Barack Obama in the White House, in this brilliant speaker, we're talking, those of us that follow this, remember his speech in 2004. As a matter of fact, I've seen it hyped on the internet as a speech that got him elected president. Certainly got him nominated for the presidency. It was just such a his oratorical skills are, especially compared to the last guy, are off the chart when he wants to be. When I want to read a little bit where he was talking about foreign policy. He said, let's be clear. We have real enemies in the world. I said, these enemies must be found. They must be pursued, and they must be defeated. And so he shows an awareness. He said that of what's going on in the world. But he also says this. He said he has the belief that we are connected as one people. If there's a child on the south side of Chicago who can't read, that matters to me, even if it's not my child. If there's a senior citizen somewhere who can't pay for her prescriptions and has to choose between medicine and the rent, that makes my life poor, even if it's not my grandmother. If there's an Arab American family being rounded up without benefit of an attorney or due process, that threatens my civil liberties. If that's a fundamental belief that I am my brother's keeper. We don't hear presidents talk like this, and we certainly don't. Maybe we hear candidates talk like this occasionally, but certainly this is the guy. Who he is, and I think some of these speeches are just part of the conflict, part of the contradiction. So I read that, and then I read that, and I'm going to tell you about 2,400 dead as a result of Obama's drone campaign in the last 5 years. I don't know about you. I didn't always have a clear. I mean, okay, he sent over some drones and he killed some bad guys anonymously and unmanned drone. But no, he sent 390 drones, and the count is up to about 2,400. Both the bad guys and the collateral damage. Collateral damage is one of those Orwellian terms. I think, I'm stealing that from Glenn Greenwald, that we've come up with in the last 20 years or so. For women and kids, when they're in the way of our political objectives or our military objectives, I'm talking about the brilliance. I'm going to read from his 2009 inauguration speech. Certainly some of you might remember that, which is an incredible contradiction to the guy that is briefed on the children that are killed by drones almost immediately. So he's not in the dark. It's not like he has this military or this intelligence community at the time doing things behind his back and then letting him know, oh, by the way, we sent unmanned drones to Pakistan today and got a few of the bad guys. He's briefed immediately on the collateral damage, and yet he sends out more drones. Now, they have been curtailed, but with the advent of ISIS, they are starting up again, and people are... And of course, there's no criticism here. I mean, ISIS, you know, they behead people on camera. For many of us, there's nothing you could do to them that is not fair. But I do want to. A lot of people had hopes. There is little in the world that makes us more hated than the drone strikes. The drones coming out of the blue sky. There was some testimony in Congress by the family of one of the drone targets, and he talked about how the child talked about how he's afraid of blue skies because the drones don't fly when there's clouds in the sky. They only fly when the sky is blue. And his father was killed by a drone on a day such as this. So they use it very successfully, and certainly it's been shown in movies and TV programs for recruiting ISIS soldiers and suicide bombers. Certainly people that don't have that have a problem with this kind of attack. I mean, it is, once again, it's, if put it the reverse, if a country was sending missiles and bombing grandma, we'd have a problem with that. If there's been some massive miscalculations, a lot of us heard about when the one of the drone bombs fell on a madrasa, a school, in pursuit of a target. And if this was happening once, we'd be demanding all kinds of action and retribution. And it's part of the contradiction of, you know, I'd have to ask, is there another way to get the bad guys? I don't know. It's but this is part of the contradiction of Barack Obama. Let me read a little bit from his 2009 inauguration speech. This was just the classic Obama and the brilliance of the of his oratory. So he talks about, he said, do we want to participate in the politics of cynicism or the politics of hope? He talks about that we're in the midst of a crisis. He was talking in 2009, and it's well understood. We're talking about an economic crisis, of course. By the time he was inaugurated, the economic crash, the depression, the recession, whatever you want to call it, was well underway. He said in his 2009 speech, he said, "Our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred. Our economy is badly weakened, a consequence of greed and irresponsibility on the part of some, but also of our collective failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age. Homes have been lost, jobs shed, businesses shuttered. Our health care is too costly, our schools fail too many, and each day brings further evidence that the ways we use energy strengthen our adversaries and threaten our planet. These are the indicators of crisis, subject to data and statistics. Less measurable but no less profound is the sapping of confidence across our land." This is the kind of inspiration. He said, "On this day, we gather because we've chosen hope over fear, unity of purpose over conflict and discord." It doesn't sound like any relationships he's had with Congress. He said, "On this day, we come to proclaim an end to the petty grievances and false promises, the recriminations and worn-out dogmas that for far too long have strangled our politics." I'm reading from his 2009 inauguration speech. If there's anything, the irony, of course, is the recriminations, the petty grievances have literally dominated, at least the Republicans have dominated so much the relationship with this president. One of the reasons that he has a problem, I think, with the press is, maybe some of you guys didn't notice this, but he released this immigration, he didn't do it through the press corps. He didn't have a news, he didn't have a, I don't want to call it a Bush style, a presidential style news. He released it on Facebook. And so you have these journalists in DC who think a lot of themselves. They made it to the top of their heap. They're hanging around the White House. They're going to the parties. They're drinking the same cocktails. They're eating the same canapes as the heads of state of the world. And yet, the big news of the day, Obama doesn't end run around them. He says, the heck with them. I'm going to release it my way. So these guys are mad about that. And both right and left. And I don't believe, so I guess what I'm saying is you have to kind of take the, from both sides, liberal and conservative, the information that we get on, at least the tone that we get on this particular polarizing president with a more than a grain of salt. We might get back to Obama in a minute here. We're talking about, I think for a long time the name of the show is Democratic Perspective, and yet the Democrat in charge, we talk about some policies, we talk about some things, but we haven't talked about him nearly as much as I would like, as much as the rest of the world does. I interrupted my homage for Steve Williamson and his 10 years with Democrats of the Red Rocks and all the work he's done and all the good things he's done, both for the organization and for the voters of the Verde Valley. And I think that's a big deal. At his last meeting, I'll be in January. He will be hosting the annual meeting for Democrats of the Red Rocks. If you have a chance, get there and slip me a $20 bill and give him a pat on the back, tell him he did a good job and he deserves some time off. I do want to do a little preview. Next week's show, we're going to do a thing on buying local. And that's kind of fun. We're kind of getting away from politics for a few shows. We're going to talk about buying local. We're going to talk, and next week we got Meg Williams Jamison on, Northern Arizona Director of Locals First. Certainly a lot of the, I know some people on the city councils of Sedona and the city councils of Cottonwood and Jerome. And this is important to them. When you're trying to run a state on sales tax, and we can talk about the absurdity of that sometime. We're talking running a state on $10 billion, which is, you know, for me, nuts. That would run maybe a few good school districts, but we're running the whole state. Corrections, education, revenue, roads, streets, transit, all on about $10 billion. And so when you're running a state on so little money, each city and town has a huge stake in getting a piece of that. The state obviously does not much money rolls out of Phoenix anymore for the cities and towns of Arizona. Certainly not as much. And so the local buying, getting those tax dollars to stay home is more important than ever. And so I believe among those things, he's going to, the guest next week will talk about that and much more, hopefully. We do have another show where we're talking to, and we're not ready to use names yet, but we do have some representatives. And the first thing I'm going to ask them is there a good name for New Age, for spiritual community participants in Sedona and the Verde Valley? This area has long been an attraction for a wide variety. I mean, I moved here in '72. And I remember being recruited for a number of organizations that had at their core a spiritual mission, for want of a better term. And so I'm going to kind of go with that. I kind of like what we're talking about now. And so in 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have that show. We're going to have some local, I want to say leaders, certainly organizers, knowledgeable people in these things, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. This is one of those things that's a little delicate. As soon as you start setting yourself up as an expert, There are all kinds of people that say, but what about this philosophy or that one? And so, but we're going to try to address, I want to say them all, certainly many of them. And one of the things I do see in the conversations I've had already with some of the local people heavily involved with the spiritual community of the area is that there is a working together, as opposed to when I moved here, where there were lots of separate organizations and competition, there in much more cooperation and more of a practicing what they preach kind of thing. If I can sit outside of the groups for a minute and do a little judging. I've been to many, many meetings and belong to none. So it's kind of, I like to be open to learning to, about all of them. And that's kind of the position I've taken and since I've been here, at least personally. And when you start talking about these, spiritual matters, it is a little you don't always want to talk about your personal, beliefs, but when you're talking about spirituality, it's hard to avoid. So we're going to have that show in a few weeks and that'll be fun. I think, and certainly informative. There have been other, people, on this radio station and others that talked about some of these things, but we're gonna try to do a good, democratic perspective overview of what's going on on that front. Alright, I want to tell you about the Door Breakfast. Democrats of Red Rocks is one of our sponsors. Let's see, the Door Breakfast on Thursday, December 18th at 8 a.m. at the Old Sedona Family Restaurant, Bar, and Grill, 1405 West Highway 89A. Our guest speaker will be Paul, I'm going to say Lenz, L-E-N-Z-E, Ph.D. Professor of Politics and International Affairs at Northern Arizona University. He'll be talking about the ISIS factor, terrorism in the Middle East. I think it'll be interesting. This is frightening and fascinating as among Dr. Lenz's recent publications are United States Foreign Relations with the Islamic World, Civil-Military Relations in Islamic Democracies, Military Interventions and Withdrawal in Algeria, Egypt, Pakistan, and Turkey. And he's got a book called Bioterrorism and U.S. Domestic Preparedness. Some of his titles get kind of long here, Paul Lenze will be here on December 18th at Old Sedona at 8 a.m. for the Door Breakfast. And those of you guys who've been to Door Breakfast before, you know they can be, they're good food and certainly a good talk. And these are arranged by one of the many things that Steve Williamson does for the community and for Democrats of the Red Rocks. We're going to have another wine and food show. We're going to get the guy, we're going to talk, we have, at our local community college, they have a viticulture and enology program, which isn't that common. So hopefully we're going to get someone to talk about that with us. We're going to talk about the restaurants of the area. We're going to talk about all the tasting rooms. We're going to talk about the vineyards, the Maynards and the Eric Glomskys and the John Scarboroughs and the Paula Wosleys and so many people involved in the wine industry here in Cottonwood. And Sedona, we have the Sedona Wine Fest every year. And I belong to two or three of these tasting room organizations, and I have wine coming in the mail. All right, thank you for your 3 years. We will see you next time. VVID.org is the podcast. VVID.org.
You've
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.